Corran D'urk is a play about what could have been, depicting the real-life struggles of its Aboriginal inhabitants to keep living on the land during an era of protectionist policies. Presented by the Ilbijeri Theatre Company, Belvoir and Riverside Theatres, the play will be performed for one day only this Wednesday at the Riverside Theatres in Parramatta. And joining you on the line is one of the play's performers, Jesse Butler. Good morning, Jesse.
Morning, Sophie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Now, Corran D'urk, it's an incredible story, but it's not that well known. So for people who don't know, what is it about?
Yeah, well, first of all, people shouldn't feel too bad about not knowing about it because, you know, this is the problem, unfortunately. We don't know a lot of these stories, not even Indigenous people. So it's great to be able to tell it. And it's basically a story about how the land at Corran D'urk, which is a beautiful reserve about 60 kilometres outside of Melbourne, northeast, and it was about how they were fighting to be self-sustainable and basically to be treated as equals and run the land how they had been running it, which they were running it really well, and they were flourishing and they were making money and they were winning awards at the show with all the produce that they were producing and the hops that they were growing. And then the Aboriginal board who were put together supposedly to protect them, but basically they wanted the land back for themselves and to give it to soldiers that were returning and all that sort of stuff. So they basically sabotaged the place and tried to take it off them. So it's basically about the Aboriginal people joining together with each other and with a couple of really great white people who are in the story, which we love, who were helping them to basically to fight to win the land back.
Yeah, I mean, this was set in the late 1800s when, you know, protectionist policies were well and truly gung-ho. For people who don't know, how bad were these policies?
Well, I mean, it's when you sit there and you listen to what the supposed experts are saying and just the words they're using to describe Aboriginal people and the conditions that they should be under. It's just it's almost comical how bad they were and how Aboriginal people were just basically treated like animals, herded like cattle through different places and just displacing them everywhere, bringing people from all around the country to live together so that they would, you know, they wouldn't feel comfortable around people they knew. But the problem is Aboriginal culture, you know, everyone is able to come together and learn each other's language and really be stronger together. So these policies that were sort of placed upon them, Aboriginal people at the time, they were really fighting against it, and they kind of used a lot of the things that they were given to fight back against these policies.
For sure. And you mentioned before, like, people don't really know many of the stories, not even Aboriginal people. Is it because, like, unlike when you think about land rights, you think about the Mabo decision, because it was successful, because of these smaller struggles, they weren't successful, you don't hear about them as much?
Absolutely. And this is why we love this particular story, because even though there's many examples of these stories, and I'm sure there were lots of these going on, you know, all around the world, really. It's not just in Australia. But when you have something like this that's written down and it's all recorded, the inquiry in 1881, it's basically, you can't deny it. It's all the words are there and you can see that the Aboriginal people were being heard from, which just doesn't happen, especially back then. To have Aboriginal voices recorded is quite amazing. So I think the fact that we've got something here that we've got a story to tell, that's there's a victory in there that we can all sort of learn from, I guess, and be inspired by. But it was, you know, a lot of things when in Aboriginal culture, stories are passed down orally. So, you know, we talk about them, we tell our grandchildren and that sort of thing. But in sort of the white world, I guess, it's more about things being recorded and written down and everything like that. So to have that, this story written down like that is why I think it's so much stronger and why it's really important, this particular one.
Yeah. And have you uncovered any similar stories while researching for this play?
Well, the funny thing is that along the way, particularly when we toured in Victoria, we had a lot of ancestors come to see the show, which was amazing and really daunting as well, especially when you meet a character you're playing's great-great-uncle or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, especially just before you go on stage.
no pressure.
But, yeah, exactly. I reckon you're like, oh, I hope I'm doing it justice. But there's also people that sort of stand up and say, oh, well, hang on, this is great, but there was also a story, I was from Lake Tyres or I was a bit north or south or whatever, and we were going through the same thing, or my great-grandmother was a part of the Stolen Generation, or we were going through the same thing. So, yeah, there was just so many stories that people kept telling us. We have Q&A sessions after the shows quite often, and that's a time where people love to sort of say, you know, what they know and their stories and that kind of thing. So, yeah, more and more examples each time we do the show, really.
Wow. And who do you play in the play?
Well, we all play various roles. I think the original cast, when they first did it was basically just reading out all the verbatim.
Right.
And it was just the entire inquiry. And I think it went for about 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
yeah, exactly. So, really engaging stuff, but really intense as well. So we've sort of narrowed it down. It's like about an hour show, and it's sort of dramatized, and we also comment on it along the way. So I think it's a lot more sort of engaging, and you can sort of really listen to the really important bits in the story. So yeah, we sort of jump between about 7 different characters, between Aboriginal characters and also, the European characters that were there at the time. So yeah, quite a few.
But speaking of originals, Jack Charles will be joining you this week for the Q&A right after.
Yeah, which is great. I think he was going to come to another one in Victoria, but he couldn't make it. He was, of course, played the original narrator and that in the story, which is now played by Trevor Jamison, who's also got a beard very similar to Jack.
That's quite a beard.
Yeah, it's quite a beard, yeah. People comment on it all the time. It's almost more famous than he is. But, yeah, we can't wait to... I haven't met Uncle Jack yet.
Mm.
So it'll be really good to have him there. And, yeah, he's such a great character and personality. So, yeah, it'll be really good. And he'll be, I think, facilitating the Q&A sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be even better. So, yeah.
Wow. I mean, living legend in the room. Doing Q&A,
absolutely.
Real life struggles. Who was part of the Stolen Generation, part of the government policies. Incredible. But it's only being performed for one day only on Wednesday. Any reason why are you touring back in Victoria?
Yeah, I think we've got two shows. We've got a matinee and an evening performance. We don't spend too long in each town as we go to. Unfortunately, when we get to places like Parramatta and that, we don't get to perform more shows. But yeah, we've got to head up north and end up to Toowoomba and then in Darwin. So yeah, still a few places to go.
Excellent. Well, it sounds incredible. But Jesse, thank you so much for talking to us here on 2SER this morning.
No worries. Thanks heaps, Sophie.